Good afternoon, 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
They're going to be here briefly. I think on campus they're going to be here for 30 minutes. And so we're planning now to make sure that whatever protest is there is done in a peaceful manner.
Moorhead State University President Wayne Andrews says members of the controversial Westboro Baptist Church intend to protest at MSU a week from today.
Another hiker has been killed in a fall at the Red River Gorge.
And Kentucky lawmakers are urged to approve educational savings accounts.
In sports, the Steelers and the Chargers meet in San Diego for Monday Night Football.
But Luke has the Sox.
Mostly cloudy tonight with showers likely, lows in the lower 50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The man who fell to his death in the Red River Gorge in Menifee County last weekend had ventured past a safety railing. That's according to Eddie Connor of the Wolf County Search and Rescue Squad. He tells WKYT he hopes the death of 30-year-old Michael Hacker leads other hikers to be more careful.
Think twice before you do something. Look at all the possibilities. See what the dangers are.
The accident Saturday was at Chimney Top Rock. The victim was from the Cincinnati area.
The case of an Ashland man accused of in the strangling death of his former neighbor had been declared a mistrial. The Ashland Independent reports the jury in the case was unable to come to a unanimous decision Friday regarding Charles Wilhere. Wilhere had been indicted in connection with the death of 29-year-old Aaron Atkins. Wilhere could have been convicted of murder, first or second degree manslaughter, reckless homicide, or found not guilty. Circuit Judge David Hagerman said he had no choice but to declare the mistrial, and another trial will be scheduled.
Moorhead State's president is glad members of the controversial Westboro Baptist Church won't be on the university's campus for long. The group announced on Friday it will hold a demonstration at MSU next Monday from 9:10 to 9:40 a.m. Andrews admits he's not looking forward to it.
There's nothing about what they say or do that I would condone or like because it's opposed to what we believe, and we're not going to give them much attention. And so I would encourage our people, if they want to go down there and watch and listen, that's their choice, of course. But then the other way to deal with a group like that is ignore them. Let them show up, have their protests, they can talk to one another, and they'll be gone in 30 minutes.
Based in Topeka, Kansas, the Westboro Baptist Church has gained notoriety for protesting at military funerals and promoting a harsh anti-gay message. MSU police are coordinating with other local authorities to provide extra security for next Monday's campus demonstration.
Kentucky could give parents more choice in the education of their children and improve their learning outcomes by implementing education savings accounts. That's what a researcher for a libertarian think tank told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfurt this afternoon. Vicki Alger works for the Independent Institute in Oakland, California. She says Arizona was the first state to set up an ESA program. For parents who decide not to enroll their child in a public school, the state money that would have been appropriated for that purpose is deposited in an ESA. Alger says parents are then issued a debit card, which they can use to purchase educational services,
including private school tuition, homeschool curricula, online courses, tutoring, testing fees, and special education services. Any leftover funds in a child's ESA roll over from one year to the next for future education expenses, including college.
Alger claims early economic research on ESAs showed that they improve school productivity up to 28%.
City Commissioner Larry Brown says Ashland Community and Technical College is playing a key role in the future of the region's economy. Brown is among the elected officials who attended a strategic planning meeting for ACTC last week. He says Ashland needs more and better jobs, and the best way to get them is by offering prospective businesses skilled employees who have a strong work ethic.
Ashland, we've had industries in the past, and we're what we are today because of those industries, but we've become a very service-oriented community, and we're going to have to change that and recruit other businesses. The Winchester Wall, the invisible Winchester Wall that they talk about, you know, I actually see that wall still there.
Brown says the only way to break down that barrier is through education and state and local leaders working together.
A two-day conference for high school girls is taking place this week at Ashland's Community and Technical College called Young Women Lead. Sessions are scheduled Tuesday and Wednesday starting at 8:30 in the morning. The purpose of the conference is to empower girls to embrace their strengths and reach their full potential. Ashland City Commissioner Amanda Clark is among those participating.
I have traditionally been in professions where women were very prevalent. I was an elementary school teacher in library administration, and those seem to be places where women are prevalent in administration. Every meeting that I attend now as a commissioner, I'm typically the only female. And so for the first time in my life, I'm seeing where women feel as if they haven't gotten there yet.
The keynote speaker for Tuesday's meeting is Liz Forkin-Bohannon, who works with a multinational communications firm. Wednesday's conference will be hosted by Julie Reeves of WDGG Radio in Huntington.
Ashland's vice mayor says commissioners should look into a new request that they approve so-called quiet zone legislation to regulate noise by CSX trains passing through the city at certain crossings. Kevin Gunderson says people in residential neighborhoods sometimes get upset by loud train whistles throughout the day and night. However, he says the last time the matter was raised, there wasn't much of a consensus on it.
This issue comes around slightly more than Halley's Comet. Neighbors in East Ashland, particularly a motel up there, occasionally complain about loud noise from CSX trains. We had a community meeting up there some 15 years ago, and there was certainly not unanimity in the neighbors that they wanted a quiet zone.
Gunderson says when the quiet zone idea was explored more than a decade ago, the city learned it would have to spend about $1 million to upgrade crossings so that they would qualify for designation as such. If that's still the case, he says, there's no money in the budget for it.
One-lane traffic will occur along 30 miles of I-64 in Carter County as part of a $20 million Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Improvement Project. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says there are actually two separate initiatives. One of them involves blacktopping, tree trimming, and drainage improvements that will run from the Carter-Round County line to mile marker 154. He notes that workers will also erect retaining walls at the Kentucky 207 overpass east of Grayson.
Well, you know, it's important to keep the interstate updated. I mean, I-64 is our corridor, you know, between the states. It's important for commerce and industry and travel, and it is, you know, one of the largest volume roads we have in eastern Kentucky.
The projects will run through next year. The hope is to finish the work by the summer of 2016.
There could be some slowdowns this week on a busy interstate in southern Kentucky. KNN's Tom Latek tells us why.
The Transportation Cabinet says there will be rolling roadblocks each night on Interstate 65 from the Tennessee border to the Barron-Hart County line, the 54-mile marker. Crews are replacing and repairing pavement markers, and the roadblocks will start at 10 p.m. and end at 7 a.m. each day. Work will be done on the northbound side first, then the southbound lanes. Drivers should allow extra travel time. I'm Tom Latek.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board has a new general manager. Holly McGrath-Rosas is expected to take over the agency on December 1st. Interim manager Billy Winkleman says Rosas comes to the MUPB after serving since 2012 as the assistant director of utilities for the city of Midland, Texas. He notes before that, she worked as the sanitary sewer and environmental compliance superintendent for West Palm Beach, Florida.
I think she's got the credentials, she's got the background, she's got a ton of experience in certain fields, you know, far as in the water treatment plant, wastewater plant, collection. She has all the degrees and the certifications for this position.
Rosas was one of 30 applicants to replace Mike Nickel, who retired at the end of July after serving for 21 years as the Moorhead Utility Plant Board's general manager.
After recent severe flooding in South Carolina, a Maysville church has initiated a relief effort to aid victims. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The Maysville Church of the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries has a history of helping disaster victims. Lisa Allred is president of the ministry.
We'll go down there and actually help work, you know, cleaning houses, taking stuff out, cleaning trash up, whatever they need us to do.
The church is also accepting donations of various cleaning supplies that can be dropped off at its location on Maple Leaf Road through October 24th. The organization plans to distribute those supplies to the people in the city of Sumter. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth is bristling at claims by Republican colleagues on the House Budget Committee that the Affordable Care Act has made health insurance more expensive and less accessible to Americans. Yarmuth is the lone Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation. He took issue with GOP criticism of the law during a budget reconciliation hearing Friday. The ACA, says Yarmuth, has been a tremendous success in Kentucky, and doing away with it would be a disaster.
In my district in Louisville, Kentucky, Kentucky 3, we've reduced the uninsured rate by 81%. There are now fewer than 20,000 people in my district without health insurance. That's a phenomenal record.
Statewide, says Yarmuth, more than 520,000 people in Kentucky have been able to obtain health insurance for the first time. He says Kentucky's uninsured rate has been reduced by over 50% because of the ACA.
Kentucky state officials collected $24 million more in taxes last month than they did a year ago, keeping pace with official estimates. Revenue for the state's general fund, mostly made up of income and sales taxes, grew 2.6% in September. State revenue has grown 4.5% in the first quarter of the budget year that ends June 30th. However, Kentucky's road fund did not fare well. The fund, made up mostly of gasoline taxes, dropped 20.5% in September, mostly because of a decline in the tax rate. The Consensus Forecasting Group meets tomorrow to revise official forecasts for the next biennium.
The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission is seeking authority from state lawmakers to license companies that sell historical racing equipment to tracks that offer such wagering. Susan Speckert is general counsel for the commission. She appeared Friday before the Kentucky General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Licensing and Occupations.
Currently, the commission does not have the specific authority to license the entities that manufacture and sell historical horse race wagering equipment, nor do we have the specific authority to license the racetracks that offer the historical horse race wagering.
Speckert says the tracks that offer historical wagering are Ellis Park, Keeneland, Kentucky Downs, and the Red Mile. She says they all support the Racing Commission's proposal.
The employees of King's Daughters Medical Center will show off their talents at a craft fair tomorrow. Nearly 40 vendors, many of them KDMC staff, will set up booths under a tent near the hospital. Tom Deering is a spokesman for the hospital. He says community members and hospital staff alike are excited to take part.
We sort of just reached out to our team members, but also put word out into the public. And we got a great response very early on back in the summer when we planned this. People that make things from homemade quilts to jewelry to seasonal things like wreaths, hair bows. Just lots of talent amongst the King's Daughters team as well as our community.
He adds that the event, dubbed Let's Get Crafty, is already generating so much interest that a spring craft fair is in the works.
The mission organization Waves of Mercy, located in Versailles, Kentucky, experienced a big loss last week. The charity delivers supplies to Haiti, but lost hundreds of pounds of food and clothing when a ship sank in Hurricane Joaquin. Diana Owen is director of the organization. She says it is now planning for a peanut butter drive. She says peanut butter is a commodity in Haiti that easily runs as high as $10 for a small jar. However, she says the food is ideal because it has a long shelf life and it doesn't require charcoal to cook. Owen says the latest initiative needs all the help it can get.
Go to my website if they would like. There's a PayPal thing on my website, which is www.mercysaves.org, or they can write a check. You make the check out Ways of Mercy, Post Office Box 516, Versailles, Kentucky, 40383.
Owen says many items are in short supply in Haiti because of Hurricane Joaquin. Charcoal, she says, is one of them. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For tonight, you can expect milder temperatures and mostly cloudy skies with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then clearing later on. Lows will be around 52 degrees. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s. Tuesday night, cooler temperatures, mostly clear skies. You can expect patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows will be in the upper 30s in the valleys and in the mid-40s on the ridges. For Wednesday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Wednesday night, mostly clear skies and patchy frost late Wednesday night. Lows will be in the mid-30s. For Thursday, sunny skies with highs in the mid-60s. And Thursday night, milder and partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. It is currently 76 degrees in Ashland, 75 in Flemingsburg, 74 degrees in Inez, 76 degrees in Lexington, and in Winchester and in Moorhead, it is currently 74 degrees.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, while it has admitted that the waste from fracking and oil drilling is hazardous, the EPA has failed to regulate it in Kentucky. And with the current surge in high-volume fracking, some concerned groups are pushing for the EPA to act. Greg Stottlemyre has details.
The EPA largely has failed to regulate waste from oil and gas drilling, even though it admitted 27 years ago that the waste is hazardous. With the boom in high-volume hydrofracking, conservation and citizens groups are pushing the agency to finally close that big gap. Adam Crone with the Environmental Integrity Project says his group and others will go to court to make that happen.
EPA just hasn't acted. It's got clear authority to implement these regulations. But for whatever reason, once it made that pronouncement in 1988, it just stepped back and that was its last word on the issue.
While EPA said the wastewater and drill cuttings are hazardous waste, it decided regulating the problem was best left to the states or through special rules the agency would write, but never did. Now, nearly three decades later, a study by Earthworks finds that no one knows where more than 60% of West Virginia's liquid waste ends up. Tom Fitzgerald with the Kentucky Resources Council says Kentucky is in a better place because it has not experienced the widespread development of deep well fracking that West Virginia has. Earlier this year, the Kentucky legislature added before and after water sampling at hydraulic fracking sites to the state's oil and gas regulations. Fitzgerald says the fracking boom elsewhere is a cautionary tale that Kentucky still has to get its act together to get more protections in place.
The next piece of the puzzle that we need to work on in Kentucky is a cradle-to-grave tracking of water that is used for any hydrofracking.
Fitzgerald says that should include what's happening to the waste that are produced from the backflow of the frack water. The oil and gas industry argues that much of the waste is benign. Crone, however, says it contains things that should be handled more carefully.
You would not want to be exposed to these wastes regularly. Benzene, toluene, metals like chromium, barium, and strontium, and mercury. And then we've just got these extremely high levels of salts.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, this is Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and Jared S. Sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
Football on the West Coast. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. In Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers duel with the Chargers out in San Diego. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the coverage.
Tonight's game features a pair of 2-2 teams that will be getting key players back from suspension. The Steelers will have again big play receiver Martavis Bryant in their lineup. He caught 8 touchdowns in 2014. San Diego will mark the return of veteran tight end Antonio Gates. Pittsburgh likely will lean on Pro Bowl running back Le'Veon Bell tonight. He ran for 150 yards in last week's game against Baltimore. Meanwhile, Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers has played well in his last two games against the Steelers, throwing for 6 touchdowns with no interception. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Cincinnati Bengals are 5-0 for just the third time in team history, and they accomplished that feat Sunday in a most improbable way. Down 17 in the fourth quarter at home to Seattle, the Bengals rallied to win 27-24 on Mike Nugent's 31-yard field goal in overtime. Quarterback Andy Dalton sparked the Cincinnati comeback by running for one touchdown and passing for another. He also led his team on a 69-yard drive to set up Nugent's game winner. Dalton says the Bengals never doubted that they'd win the game.
When you get wins like this, it adds to your confidence. I feel really good about this team and where we're at. Obviously, being 5-0, it's how you want. When you look at a schedule and you see where we're at, you draw it up as you want to be undefeated, and that's where we're at.
Where the Bengals will be at next Sunday, Buffalo. The Bills are 3-2 after edging Tennessee Sunday 14-13. According to multiple reports, the University of Florida has announced that starting quarterback Will Greer has been suspended for the rest of the season after testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. The freshman had been a pleasant surprise for the Gator fans after throwing for 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and throwing for more than 1,200 yards for the undefeated and 8th-ranked Gators, who are currently in first place in the SEC East. The Kentucky football team is gearing up for Thursday's game against SEC West opponent Auburn. The game will be aired on ESPN at 7:30, giving the Wildcats a chance to show out in front of the entire nation. Head coach Mark Stoops says the Thursday game makes for a unique week of preparation.
Coaches recruited on Friday, and then it's a quick turnaround, because then Saturday morning's basically Monday for us. So we got a day on the front end, and then we'll get a day or two on the back end as well. So a little different, but that's how it's different when you follow it up with a Thursday.
Kentucky is 4-1 overall, 2-1 in the SEC, good enough for second place in the East. Saturday's 34-21 homecoming win over Butler was an extra special event for one Morehead State football player. Playing in his first game of 2015, senior middle linebacker Luke Keller had 9 tackles, including 4 solos. Keller had been sitting out after having off-season wrist surgery and then dealing with an ensuing infection. He was supposed to see only part-time duty Saturday, but an injury to another one of MSU's middle linebackers got him on the field more than expected.
Obviously, you hate to see a guy like Nick Reitzel go down in the first quarter, but the coaches preached to me all week, just kind of be ready to fill in, be ready, and we were going to just wean me into it, and all of a sudden, they threw me in there, and I was fortunately ready to play because the coaches got me well prepared.
The win over Butler improved MSU to 3-3 overall and to 2-1 in the PFL. They have next weekend off. Taking a look at some scores around Major League Baseball, currently in the top of the 9th inning, the Kansas City Royals have been on a comeback against the Houston Astros. They now lead 7-6. Houston, however, leads the overall series 2-1. In the top of the 3rd, it is the Blue Jays over the Rangers, currently 5-0. The Rangers lead that series 2-1. Tonight at 6 p.m., the Cubs will host the Cardinals. That series is tied up at 1 game apiece. And then at 8:30, following that matchup, we'll have the Mets hosting the Dodgers. That series is also tied up at 1 game apiece. The Morehead State men's basketball team gave its fans a little preview of things to come this season during Saturday's Hardwood Asteria. Skills competitions were held along with a brief inter-squad scrimmage. As they continue their preseason practices, junior guard Corbin Collins says the Eagles are keeping their noses stuck to the grindstone.
Right now, our thoughts are just to get better each and every day. Come in, give it our all every day, work hard, go hard, and just expect the best. You know, we prepared all summer. We had a really good summer, really good. We worked really hard this summer, and we're just looking forward to bearing the fruits coming the season.
The MSU men have an exhibition game at home against Asbury on November the 3rd. An ex-Louisville Cardinal is speaking out about the allegations against the UofL basketball program. Kurt Darling has the story.
Former Louisville Cardinal and NBA player Terrence Williams has had enough of the allegations against the school. In an expletive-filled interview with TMZ, Williams aggressively denied any involvement in the scandal, saying he never had to pay for sex. The book-breaking Cardinal Rules alleges Williams paid $500 for a sexual escapade with 2 women. Williams says Katina Powell, the author behind the book, is nothing more than a money-hungry liar looking for a payday. I'm Kurt Darling.
Finally, tonight in sports, the Rowan County boys soccer team begins 61st district tournament action tonight at home. At 6 o'clock, the 13-7-1 Vikings will face Menifee County, who they routed 7-0 back on September the 28th.
However, coming off a 3-1 loss Saturday to Corbin, round coach Max Hammond says his team needs to be much better in the postseason.
I wasn't real happy with that one. I don't think the boys were either. Hopefully that sets them up to be better in the postseason because Corbin was a good team. And, you know, hopefully they see that they got to put everything they have into it and they have to have a better performance.
Tonight's late game in the 61st District features Bath County against Fleming. That will do it tonight for sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Soccer will host OVC opponents Murray State at 7 p.m. on Thursday and Southeast Missouri on October 22nd. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mildly higher in low-volume trade as investors readied for the first major earnings reports due tomorrow. The NASDAQ Composite closed above its 50-day moving average for the first time since August 17th, and the Dow and the S&P 500 both closed above their 50-day moving averages last week and have remained above those levels. And at the close, the Dow Industrials show a modest gain of 47.37 at 17,131.82. The S&P 500 was up 2.57 at 2,017.46, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 8.17, finishing at 4,838.64. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 14 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Utilities rose nearly 1% as the greatest advancer in the S&P, while the energy sector fell more than 1% as the greatest declining sector, and oil was down $2.53 or 5.1% at $47.10 a barrel, giving back more than half of last week's rally. Chevron and IBM were the weakest performers of the 30 Dow industrial stocks in today's trading. In Asia, the Shanghai Composite surged more than 3%, and the Hang Seng closed up 1.2%. Japanese stock markets were closed for a holiday, while Europe's stocks closed mixed under some pressure from declines in oil prices. Dell announced a $67 billion cash and stock deal with MSD Partners and Silver Lake to buy cloud computing firm EMC, and Eli Lilly fell about 8% on news that the firm stopped a late-stage trial of its closely watched cholesterol treatment after the drug proved ineffective. Shares of Merck, which is developing a similar medicine, also declined. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 68 cents at 106.20, CSX down 71 cents at 28.37, AEP up 82 cents at 57.56, Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at 49.75, AK Steel down 21 cents at 285, and Community Trust Bank was up 42 cents to finish at 35.48. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's offers homemade desserts, cakes, pies, and cookies. Breakfast menu features cinnamon rolls and sticky buns, scones, croissants, quiche, and muffins. Lunch menu has homemade sandwiches, fresh salads, and daily soup specials. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch reservations and orders by phone at 780-4282. Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For tonight, milder temperatures and mostly cloudy skies with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then clearing later on. Lows will be around 52 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, cooler and mostly clear with patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows will be in the upper 30s in the valleys and in the mid-40s on the ridges. For Wednesday, sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s. Wednesday night, mostly clear, and you can expect patchy frost late Wednesday night. Lows will be in the mid-30s. For Thursday, sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Thursday night, milder and partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. It is currently 74 degrees in Moorhead.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer, and from the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.